Mark chapter 9, verse number 19, many of you are familiar with the story. The Bible tells us, "He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he had saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it since this child came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could we not cast him out? And he said unto him, This kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. And I want to focus in on verse number if you'll look up with me, verse number 23 and 24, where Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And let's pray. God, thank you so much for this chance to be here. I ask, God, that you'd allow me to have the words to say and, Lord, not to get distracted. I pray and ask, God, that you'd help us to come to you with tears, with sincerity, Father, and just tell you without a doubt that we need your help to believe. God, there's some things in your scripture that are unbelievable, and I pray tonight that you'd help us to accept them and to believe. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The title of my message tonight is Jesus's Believe It or Not. Jesus's Believe It or Not. And when I was looking through my devotions, I came upon a verse. And I started meditating on it. And Pastor Clanny, he'd been teaching recently that memorization leads to meditation, and meditation leads to victory. And so I was working on what my pastor was teaching. I was meditating on the scripture that God had put in my devotions, and I started thinking of what it was saying. In fact, it was Psalm 147, verse 5, where it says, Great is our Lord, and of great power, his understanding is infinite. And right before that, I had read Psalm 145, verse 3, where it says, Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. And I started thinking about unsearchable. And then I started thinking about all the things that God has that we can't really fit into our thoughts, that we can't really understand. And I remember as a kid, one of our favorite books, when we got to go to the library every Thursday, where Mrs. Stahl was the librarian, we'd all get to go and pick out a book or two to take home. We'd all want to look at the Ripley's Believe It or Not book. And you know what, I'm not saying that's the book you need to read or that's what you need to go out and get today, but you know what, I remember looking through it, and so I went online to the website. They had a website, and I found interesting stories. Believe it or not, these are true. Man trains dog to die for lobster. Man trains dog to die for lobster. So if you guys are lobster lovers, you can train your puppy to go and die for lobsters for your meal tonight. And so if you're a lobster lover, that's for you. The crazy animals. In fact, it was started by a man. His name was Robert L. Ripley. He decided he traveled to 22 different countries across the world, and he saw all the unusual things, the unusual people, and that's what he decided to make it an auditorium, with odd being the key phrase of all the crazy things he had seen. And he displayed them at the World Fair, and one of them on there, the strange creatures, was the orchid mantis. So picture a praying mantis, but picture it like a beautiful flower. I mean, it is. It's bright green and purple and yellow and every color that you could think of. And as soon as the fly lands on it, thinking it's a flower, it snaps and it grabs it and it bites the head off of whatever it catches. I mean, that's out there. Believe it or not, that's out there. Some of the other things, the world's smallest road legal car, it's called the P45. Your ceiling is the helmet. Your seat is literally the end of the car with some wheels underneath you. Some of these guys are looking up here, they're like, I want to drive that. I want to try that. But it is road legal. It's the smallest car. Basically, you sit in it, and that's as big as it is. All righty, and then here's some games that some of the guys are probably going to try after this. Soccer played on a bicycle. It's called radball. That sounds fun to me. I mean, you get on your bicycle, and you can't get off. I mean, you can't put your foot on the ground, and you play soccer on bicycles. That's real, believe it or not. I saw a video of people playing radball online. And, of course, it's not just crazy things that people do or crazy animals, but there are some crazy people out there. Now, imagine this teenager, and they can bench press 230 pounds, which is a lot better than most of us will admit that we can bench press. Let's be honest. I can't bench press 230 pounds, and most of you can't either. They can squat 396 pounds, and her name is Julia. Her name is Julia Vins, and she is a 19-year-old Russian young lady, and she can squat 396 pounds. Believe it or not, she can squat most of you guys piled on top of each other. In fact, you just take that whole pew and put it on some kind of contraption. She could bench press you guys. She could squat you guys. She makes all of us look like a bunch of wimps. All righty, but looking into the scripture, I didn't get everything. There's verses and verses and verses that I left out when I was studying, but I want to bring you a few things, believe it or not, spiritual things from the Word of God that you can have. Unfathomable. Number one is the unsearchable greatness of God's person. The unsearchable greatness of God's person. And you know what? I talked about how great some people were, great some animals were that are in this world, but you know what? The creator of this world, his greatness is unsearchable. No matter how magnificent the animals at the zoo may seem to you, no matter how great these people that we see on TV and all the great things they can do, let me tell you that the person of our God is so unsearchable, you can't find the end of how great his person is. The Bible tells us in Psalm 145, verse 3, "Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable." If you start to lift weights, you'll find out that there's a limit. And you know what? When we lifted weights in high school, we called it maxing out. What? How much can we bench press? How much can we squat? How much can we leg lift? How much can we curl? And you know what? There's always a limit. You always found your limit pretty quickly. And you know what? When you're doing that, as a young man, the limit is usually not as big as you had hoped it would be. You walk in there and you think, I'm going to lift 500 pounds. And you end up lifting 100. And you go in there and you're like, I can squat three times my weight. And you can barely squat your own weight. But let me tell you, we're not looking at a God who's like those young men in the high school or the young men that are in college who are trying to figure out how much their limit is and how much their limit is when they go into professional sports. We're looking at a God whose greatness is unsearchable. You can't find anything too heavy for him to lift. You can't find anything that is faster than him. Let me tell you, Job had some things to say about the greatness of our God. In Job 5, verse 8 and 9, he said this, "I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number." In Job 36, 26, he said this, "Behold, God is great, and we know him not, neither can the number of his years be searched out." Folks, because you know what? God is not just a great God of power, and he's not just bigger than any other creation, seen or unseen. Our God is great in the fact that there is nobody who has more wisdom, nobody who is older, nobody who has been around longer. You know what? There's not a contest that our God could lose. There's not anything that our God can find that is his limit. When it comes to his years, you can't count them all. When it comes to his strength, you're not able to measure it in pounds. When it comes to all the things that he can do, you couldn't write them in books. It was said about our Lord Jesus Christ that if everything he did while he was here on this earth were written in books, the world could not contain the number of them. Now imagine, we're not just talking about the 30 years that Jesus was here on this earth. We're talking about the great God who is infinite, who is unsearchable in his amount of greatness. He is a great God. You know what? The Bible tells us he's not just a great God of power. He's not just a great God who is infinite. It says this. It says in Isaiah 40, verse 28, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." He won't be worn out. You could put the weight of the world on his shoulder, the millions of tons of this universe into his hands, and he could bench press them all day long and he would not faint. You try to put him to a riddle or a test and you sit him down, and you know what? There's no searching his understanding. He's not only the creator of the universe, but let me tell you, he understands every working moment of it. And you know what, my friends, I've got a lot of friends right now who are working out and they're weightlifting. And you know what, my dad, he weightlifted when he was in his 20s and 30s. And so I grew up, he taught me these things. And you know what, there's a point where, you know what, you start working out and you hit a wall. And you can't grow anymore. Your muscles don't get any stronger. And you know, I was starting to look in and research some different ways and different exercise methods to get longer lasting strength or to get bigger strength. And it said this. It said, well, here are three theories on how muscle works. I said to myself, looking there, I said, you mean out of all these years that we've been lifting weights, that men have been trying to prove how big and bad they are, we still don't understand how muscles are grown. We still don't understand the makeup of what we are. You know what? You look at these animals, and there's always something new in the news, like, oh, we didn't know this, but did you know this about this animal? And you're just like, they just figured that out. In fact, I was talking to a man from our church, and his daughter, she's studying to be a nurse, and so she goes through, she's got anatomy classes, she's got all kinds of different classes, and he said they found a new bone in the knee. Out of all these years they've been performing knee surgery, they found a new part of the knee. And maybe it's not a bone, maybe it's a ligament. They're not sure yet. You know what? Let me tell you, our God, He created us. He created every animal in the world. He created the universe. There's not a question that He doesn't understand. You know what? There's not something that He doesn't know about why you're sick or why you're hurting. You know what? When it comes to, well, why does this happen? You know what? God has an answer to it, whether or not He tells us, because His understanding is unsearchable. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And, of course, I was very blessed that when I started to move back here, that Brother Jeff Reiser gave me a job. And one of the pastimes of being able to work with Brother Jeff Reiser was listen to sports radio. And you know what? Amen. Praise God. I love listening about football or basketball, and I don't even care to watch the games. I just like hearing all these people talk about it. And I remember they were talking, if you took the best college football team, in fact, they were talking about basketball. If you took UK basketball, was what they were saying, whenever they won the title. If you took UK basketball and put them up against the worst NBA basketball team, would they be able to win a game out of a series of seven? So if the worst NBA basketball team, the pro basketball team, played the best college basketball team, could they win one out of seven? And the man, in fact, the man they asked was from UK. He said they'd win one. One game out of seven, maybe. They'd have to fight for it. You know why? Because they are in another league. Professional sports players, they're in a completely different league than college. They devote every minute of every day, of every second to it. Folks, let me tell you, when you start to wonder about something in the Bible, if you start to wonder about something in this world, let me promise you that God's thinking is in a completely different league. You can't find it out. That you can't read in here and completely understand why God is in three persons, why He sent His Son, why He decided to do the things He did. But let me tell you this, that His ways are the right ways, and that His is greatness. It's not a lessness. It's not a weakness to be a Christian. It's not something that we ought to be ashamed of, because our God has greatness that is unsearchable. You can't find it out. You can't find it out. You can find the limit to your own strength, young men. And you know what? Maybe you'll have the chance to do that this summer. And you know what? Many of you men in here found the limit of your strength when you ran in the mile race at Pastor's house. And you figured out how many of you could run a mile, and you figured out how many of you couldn't run a whole mile. And you know what? Let me tell you, we can find limits to our intelligence, to our strength, to our bodies, to our understanding. Our God, it's unsearchable how great and understanding and how infinite He really is in His power. You know what? Our God, His greatness is unsearchable. Let me tell you number two. Number two, Mark 6:51. Let me tell you that the unsearchable greatness of God, believe it or not, the unsearchable greatness of God leads to an unmeasurable amazement to Christ's works. An unmeasurable amazement to Christ's works. Now, I'm a math-minded person. I measure things in inches, I measure things in grams, and I don't know why there's 50 watermelons on that truck, but I will tell you what happens when you subtract 12 of them from it. I can tell you what happens. You know, I don't know why. I love math problems. They don't really have any points sometimes, but I love doing them. And you know what? I like to measure things. You know, at my new job, I work at Scepter down at Bicknell, and you know what I do is I take a mill and I mill down a piece of aluminum and I scan it into a computer and it shows me the chemistry makeup of it. But you know what I have to do is I have to look at a chart and I have to measure that sample, and it'll be so many millimeters, and then I have to shave so many millimeters off of it. I have to measure. You know what, many of you women, when you cook, you know what? There's a lot of difference between 2 cups of sugar and 2 cups of salt. You know what? I remember one time working at a Goose Pond Pizza that we made some thick crust pizza, and I think Miss Darcy was at it. You got those mixed up, I think. I can't remember, but she took one bite into it. It was on her break. She took one bite into that pizza, and she put it down, and she said, "It's no good." And me, being a stupid teenager, picked up a piece of the pizza. I said, "Well, it can't be that bad. We'll make this work." And I took a bite out of it, and that was the saltiest piece of pizza I've ever had. It was like eating an anchovy. It wasn't anchovy pizza, but it was like the whole pizza was one anchovy. It was really, really salty. You know what? We measure a lot of things in our life, but let me tell you, whenever Christ was here on this earth, he proved that when he did a great work, there was an unmeasurable amazement. People were astounded to the point that they couldn't describe how amazed they were. Mark 6:51, and it says this, "And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered." Mark 7:37, if you'll turn there with me. Mark 7:37. Unmeasurable amazement of Christ's works. In Mark 7:37, it says this, "And were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." Let me tell you, folks, you know what? The fact that our God has a character that is unsearchable in its greatness leads to the fact that why is it that us as Christians are not more amazed when we see His hand move in our life? Why is it that when God does something great for me that I don't recognize the greatness? Because you know what? Here we see people, they see Jesus calm the seas, and it says that they were sore amazed beyond measure. He healed the deaf and the dumb, and he made them speak and hear, and they were amazed, astonished beyond measure. Matthew 19, 25 and 26 says this, "When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." You know what? There's an amazing thing that God can do in your life this year, this coming year. And I can tell you this, that you know what? If you don't understand his unsearchable greatness, there will not be an unmeasurable amazement because you don't understand what happened. You know what's going to happen? Is something great's going to come into your life and you're just going to say, "Well, I'm glad luck fell my way that time." But you know what? Let me tell you, we need to stop and just realize that there's an unmeasurable amazement to Christ's works. Let me tell you, you know what? There's lives that have been changed. And you know what? There's people who have been delivered from drugs and alcohol. And there's people who have testimonies that would bring you to tears that I've met at Bible college. And you know what? Many of you know my testimony. I won't give you my testimony. Let me give you a man's testimony that I learned at Bible college. When he was 8 years old, he walked in to see his mother crying over the body of his father who had just overdosed on drugs. And you know what? His father died. And you know what? His mother ended up getting put in prison. So his grandpa took care of him. And you know what? 3 years later, when he was 11, his grandpa passed away and he was adopted by a preacher. And you know what? He did a good job, and you know what? He was a good son to that preacher, but he didn't do everything he should have done. And you know what? He was 17 years old, and he was 1 week away from coming to Commonwealth Baptist College where I met him. And you know what? He said he went to camp. And he said that God got a hold of him. And he said that God not only saved him that day at camp, but God called him to preach all on the same day. Let me tell you, that's amazing. And I don't know if you're sore amazed at the things that God has done in your life to bring you to salvation and to allow you to change the lives that you've changed. But let me tell you, I'm sore amazed because every time Christ did a great work and people were sore amazed, you know what followed? They glorified God. In Mark 2:12, it says this, "And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed," and what? "Glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." You know what? Things come through Blessed Hope Baptist Church all the time. People come through Blessed Hope Baptist Church all the time. And you know what? If you would just be sore amazed, you'd have something to glorify God about. You'd have something to praise about. The lives that are changed, the people that are changed. Let me tell you, there is an unmeasurable amazement to be had with Jesus. You know what? It's an unmeasurable amazement that I'm saved. You know what? There's plenty of times when I look back that I could not have been saved. You know what? My dad, he went to a Baptist church whenever he was just a small child. And he said he didn't want to go back anymore because he felt convicted. He went to another church where they didn't preach the gospel, but instead they decided to have a bunch of hoopla, and everybody got up and screamed, and some people shook and fell on the ground, and he said it scared him, so he didn't go back there anymore. You know what? It wasn't until he was my age, 25, 26 years old, my dad was saved, laying in his bed at the house there in Duggar. Let me tell you, that's amazing. And you know what? Thank God that he got saved so that I could get saved and so that my daughter can have a Christian home. And I don't know if you find that as amazing as I do, but you know what? I'm sure glad that my baby girl gets to have two parents in the house. I'm sure glad that my baby girl gets to be able to have a Christian daddy and a Christian mommy. And you know what? We're not all we need to be, but you know what? Praise God that God did a work in my life. It's amazing. You know what? I want you to take some time in the new year and believe it or not, you can have amazement beyond measure. You can have that thing happen to you where you stop and you say, I don't even know where it came from. I don't even know why it happened, but it was a blessing to me. Maybe it's financial. Maybe you're sitting there and you say, you know what? There's a time this year that God, he provided, and I didn't see it coming. I didn't know it was going to happen. You know what? God could do that. And you're going to be so amazed, you're not even going to know who to credit for it. But let me tell you who you can credit for it. You can credit Jesus Christ. Luke 9:43 says this, and they were all amazed at the mighty power of God, but while they wondered, everyone at the things which Jesus did. Let me tell you number three, and you know what? This kind of falls in line. God's unsearchable greatness leads to the fact that he can do unmeasurable, amazing works. And you know what? He gives us an inseparable love. Romans chapter 8. Believe it or not, Romans chapter 8, verse 38 says this, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me tell you, the love of Jesus is with you every single day this coming year. In 2016, believe it or not, Jesus will love you every single day. But Brother Jesse, you don't know what I've done. But Brother Jesse, you don't know that God loves me. You know what? I can tell you this, Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know what? His own son couldn't separate us from his love. So what do you think anything else in your life could separate you from Jesus' love? Because you know what? He sent his son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Let me tell you, his son couldn't separate us from his love. You know what? You know what? Your sin can't separate you from his love. You know what? Sin is just like a rabid dog, maybe like a big pit bull that gets a hold of your life sometimes. And you know what? Once it chomps its jaw down on you, you feel like you can't get it off. But let me tell you, your sin can't separate you from the love of God. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You know what? My sin can't separate me from the love of God. No matter what awful things I do, God's going to love me this coming year. Believe it or not, no matter what you've done in your past, God loves you. No matter what you might do in the future, believe it or not, Jesus will love you. In fact, he loved you so much that if you're saved today, he has sealed his love inside of your body. Galatians 5:22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. You know what God did? He put his Holy Spirit into you when you were saved. And that Holy Spirit just sits there and pumps out love and more love. And you know what? When you start to get tired of how much love Jesus has for you, he's going to pump out more love right there inside of your heart so that you can realize that you are inseparable from his love. In fact, I love how the Apostle John said it, 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but I don't love God, Brother Jesse. You know what? There's people out there, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know what Jesus said? Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Now, I can't even think of anything that is so tight together. I mean, you could think of maybe some childhood friends and they go everywhere together. They do everything together. And you know what? At the same time, when they have to go to bed at night, they still have to go to their own bed. They still have to go to their own house. They're going to be separated. You know what? You can think of a kid and his dog. And you know what? Even if they take the dog to bed with them, even if they take the dog to the table, you know what? Eventually, they're going to get separated sometime during the day from their dog. You know what? There's plenty of things that you can think of that go together. But you know what? The thing that we don't think of is that the love of Jesus Christ goes with us every single time, everywhere we go, every single day of the year. And it is inseparable from us. Let me move on. You know what we get along with the inseparable love of Jesus Christ? We get the incomprehensible peace of God's presence. Philippians 4:7 says this, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Let me tell you, when I first preached this, I was trying to alliterate and I was trying to be fancy. You know how preachers can be. And I said, you know what? We had the unsearchable greatness of God, and we had the unmeasurable amazement of Christ's works, the inseparable love of Christ's sacrifice is what I said. And then I said, the ununderstandable peace offered from God. The ununderstandable peace. I'm from Duggar. Give me a break. You know what? I fit over there in Bloomfield because pastor's from Kentucky and most of those people are Kentucky fans, so I'm fitting in over there. You know what? Ununderstandable. I understand that. I think that was three. But anyway, you know what we have? We have incomprehensible peace from God. And let me tell you, you know what, pastor? He might sometimes be picking fights and you don't like it, but let me tell you, you can't have peace without first having war. You know what? You can't have peace and quiet without first having a fight. And let me tell you, you know what God can do for you? He can take the fight to the devil, and then he can give you peace. He can take the fight to the gates of hell, and then he can give you peace. You know what he can do? He can take the fight to your sin, and then he can give you peace. Let me just tell you, Psalm 29:11, the Lord promised us this. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Proverbs 21 verse 1 says this. Or Psalm 119:165 says this, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." You say, "Brother Jesse, I'm just going through so much right now. The trials are coming to me." And you know why the apostles always said, "Blessed are you if you go through trials. Blessed are you if you receive temptations." Because once you get down fighting that fight, once you get done beating down that temptation, God can give you a peace beyond your understanding. Now, some of you mothers don't understand what peace and quiet is. I know what you mean because Heather tells me about it all during dinner and all during the night until we go to sleep about how hard it is to find peace and quiet in the house because the kids are running around making noise. Sarah found out how to pull open the bottom drawer of the oven where we keep all of our pots and pans, and it'll just be a couple days before she starts taking those pots and pans and making beautiful music with them. In fact, my aunt said that I did the same thing. And she had to tie the bottom drawer of the oven together so that I couldn't bang the pots and pans together and wake her husband up. But you know what? Let me tell you, you might not be able to imagine the kind of peace, but that's the beauty of it. Believe it or not, there can be absolute peace. There can be peace in your heart. There can be peace in your mind. I just can't go to sleep. There's too many thoughts running through my head. God can give you incomprehensible peace in your mind. My heart is just broken. My heart is just troubled about so-and-so from the best route, about so-and-so who's at Bible college, about so-and-so in my family. He can give you peace for your heart. Let me give you peace about our country today. Proverbs 21 verse 1 says this, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will." You know what? Let me tell you this. You know what? You should know this already, but let me just tell you. If you're worried that the peace is eluding you, that maybe you're losing the peace and that you're not close enough to God to get it, let me tell you, he puts that peace right inside of you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Philippians 4:19, you say, "Brother Jesse, I need some peace about finances. I need some peace about strength. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You know that unsearchable greatness I was talking about and the unmeasurable amazement that I was talking about? He can take that and he can give you peace. He can take that and he can take that inseparable love and he can produce peace in your heart beyond what you could understand. Amen. And last of all, my favorite one, the unspeakable joy of Christ's salvation. The unspeakable joy of Christ's salvation. Believe it or not, you not only can get incomprehensible peace and inseparable love, but God puts in your heart an unspeakable joy. Now, you guys know me. There's not very many times I don't have something to say. In fact, my boss would always say, "Brother Jesse," he'd say, "Jesse, what do you say? I said, "Well, I talk a lot, but I don't really say very much." And you know what? That's true. You know what? Many of you don't suffer like I do to have this tongue. You know what? That's why James called it a fiery little member. You know what? I have a fiery little member, and it's hard to tame. And right now, I'm trying to reel it back in and say, "Come back, Holy Spirit, whoosh." But let me tell you, there are times when Jesus can give you an unspeakable joy, even if you're like me. 1 Peter 1, verse 8 and 9, "Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." With salvation comes the promise that you can have unspeakable joy. a joy that is so great, happiness that is so immense that you can't even utter and you can't even describe in words how much it means to you. And you know, I went through some of the times of my life when I felt the happiest, when I felt that I didn't have anything to say. You know what? Psalm 144:15, it says, happy is the people that is in such case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And you know what? I started going through and I thought, you know what? It was a happy day that, you know what, when I was born for my family. And you know what? It was a happy day for me and my wife. My little baby was born. And you know what? I wanted to tackle that nurse down to the ground when she stuck my new little baby with that needle and she cried for the first time. And you know what? There's an unspeakable joy that comes with the new life into a new family. You know what? Jesus says this, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you come to Christ and you receive his inseparable love and his salvation, you know what he does? He makes you a new creature. You're a new part of the family of God. And you know what? Maybe if that's worn off, you need to dust off the Bible that you got at Vacation Bible School or that Bible that you got when you got saved. And you need to look at it and look at that date. And you need to think about where you were saved. And I look back and I think, you know what? There's an unspeakable joy when I look at this spot right here where Caleb Hall took me through the Bible and showed me how I was a sinner. Showed me how I needed a Savior and then showed me that Savior. And you know what? There's unspeakable joy when I think of that. I can't tell you how glad I am that I came to Vacation Bible School that day. I can't tell you how glad I am that Brother Bo Eichelman or Brother Jeff Reiser, whoever was driving the bus in, came by my house to pick me up. And I can't describe to you how happy I was that even though my cousin was babysitting me and I didn't like her, she hooked me up with that church lady and she sent me on that church bus to Vacation Bible School. I can't tell you how happy I am. I can't tell you how much joy I have in my heart that I got saved and that I don't have to worry about that anymore. Let me tell you, you know what? You can have that. All things can become new to you. All things in your life. You know what else I thought of? I thought of graduating. I thought of when I got up there and some of you were there and Pastor Ross was there, I remember, and they attended my graduation and I got to give up and give a speech and tell everybody who was there about how much I thank the Lord that I got to graduate and for my family And some of you may remember my mom from being there, and she's a blessing. And you know what? There's unspeakable joy that I had graduating, that I went to that next level when it came to high school, to college, and from college to the real world. And you know what? We're going to have a graduation someday. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's me and you. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Let me tell you, it could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen in 2016. You're going to graduate, and you're going to see Jesus in the clouds. You're going to see him face to face. You're going to go from this world to the real heaven, to the real world that's waiting for us up there, the perfect, indescribable place that Jesus has prepared for us. Let me tell you, there's unspeakable joy when I think of the graduation that's to come. So there's unspeakable joy for the birth that we've had as Christians and the graduation. Let me tell you this. It's unspeakable joy that someday we're going to be able to come together. And there's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Jesus is going to take the old serpent, the devil, and he's going to throw him in a pit and lock him away. And he's going to throw him into the bottomless pit of the lake of fire. You know what? There's going to be a wedding. You know what? Nothing shut me up quicker than when my wife walked right through those doors and Pastor was sitting up there. And I was so nervous that I went ahead and grabbed her hands because I wasn't going to let her go and change her mind. And you know what? There's unspeakable joy that day. Pastor, that's why Pastor gets up here and he says them with you. He says, Jesse, and you look at him and say, huh? And he's like, do you take this woman? And you're looking at him going, to be your lawfully wedded, you know? You don't have any control of what your mouth is saying up here because there's unspeakable joy when you're getting married. Let us be glad and rejoice, Revelation 19:7-8, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Folks, believe it or not, 2016 could be an unbelievable year for Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and it could be an unbelievable year for you. You know what? There's unsearchable greatness of God's character, unmeasurable amazement, Christ's works, inseparable love, incomprehensible peace, and you know what? Unspeakable joy in if you'll look with me in Mark chapter 9, you should just be a page away. You say, Brother Jesse, I don't know if I can handle that. I don't know. I think that's probably going to be too much motor for me. I don't know if I can have unspeakable joy, and I don't know if I can stand some understandable peace. But let me tell you right here, Mark chapter 9, let me show you the path to having those things, believe it or not, that you can have. Verse number 23 of chapter 9 says this: Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Well, the disciples tried to save him. Well, you know what? We prayed and we read the scripture. We remembered what you said. You gave us power, Lord. But you know what he said to the man who asked him if he could heal his son? He said, if you believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said to tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And let's make that our prayer in the days leading up to 2016. I don't know if I can reach that goal. Have you thought about those boys and girls who you haven't met yet who are going to ride your bus route? Or maybe those people that you're going to knock on their door soul winning and you're not prepared maybe, but you're going to lead them to the Lord? Maybe those kids that are going to line up here and Brother Chad Gordon and whoever else is going to be up here helping them sort out all those kids. And he says, you, come here. I need you to talk to these three kids. You know what? Are you going to be ready? You know what? I know I wasn't ready. And all you have to do is believe. All you have to do is go to the Lord and say, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. He can answer every prayer, including your prayer for belief. And let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for the things in your word that we can't understand, that can't be described, but you'd put in there for us to see. God, I ask that for 2016, you'd help us to have the faith to believe that you could give us these things, that you would give us the faith to believe in your unsearchable greatness, the faith to believe in your incomprehensible peace. Lord, please help us to believe tonight and to get the thing that we need most. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.